Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Welcome to church, everyone. Especially if this is your first time coming to church, you are our honored guest. Thank you for coming to worship our great God together with us this morning. And we like to begin by saying that our slogan around here is "No perfect people allowed." That means we're not here every week because we think we're better than the rest of the world, but precisely because of the opposite. We believe that we are not perfect, and that's the reason why we gather here every week. We are in desperate need of God's grace and forgiveness, and we've already received that 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. That's why we want to welcome you. We want to invite you to join with us every week as we gather and celebrate God's forgiveness and God's goodness in our life. I'd like to welcome our YouTube viewers and podcast listeners and 98.5 listeners as well. Thanks for joining in. Today is Mother's Day, obviously. So after this worship experience, don't forget to go outside and enjoy our free professional photo booth. Take photos with whoever you want to take photos with and celebrate and commemorate this day. As John has said, Mother's Day can be a really, really tough time for some people. And this morning, we want to acknowledge those women in our life. So I found this on the internet. Somebody posted it on Facebook. And I thought it was so brilliant that I just need to read it for all of us this morning to encourage us. To those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experience loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or running away, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, tears, disappointments, we walk with you. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have disappointments, heartaches, distance with your children, we sit with you. And to those who lost their mom this year, we grieve with you. To those who experience abuse at the hands of your own mom, we acknowledge your experience and we believe that God's grace is enough for you. To those who have aborted children, we remember them and you on this day. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we pray with you. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst, and we want to celebrate today with you. So can we give a huge round of applause for all those women in our life? You are fantastic. All right. I'd like to since I have the mic, give a shout out to my mom. She's so amazing. And yes, mom, I did shower this morning. Thank you. Okay, let us pray before we continue, shall we? Father God, we thank you for today, because today we can acknowledge special women in our lives. Father, we pray that wherever they are, we know that your grace is sufficient for them, Lord, that you never leave them nor forsake them. So we do want to pray for all these women in our life, Lord. We know that you love them so much, and we want to celebrate today with them. Now, speak to us. We are ready to listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say, amen. Amen. Tilly Smith was 10 years old. She was on holiday with her mom and dad. They had gone to a sunny place called My Cow Beach. One day, they got up early and walked along the beach in the sun, and as they were walking, Tilly noticed the tide had gone out a very, very long way out. She also noticed that the water was frothy, just like a pint of beer. She stopped dead in her track. This was exactly like the newsreel film her geography teacher, Mr. Kearney, had shown her back at school in Surrey, England. Mr. Kearney had shown some old black and white footage of Hawaii in 1946. It was the only film anyone had ever seen of a tsunami. In fact, most people hadn't even heard the word tsunami. But Tilly was convinced that was what was happening right now in front of her. She tried to explain to her mom, but her mom wasn't convinced, obviously. No one had heard of a tsunami. No one on the beach, including the lifeguards. was taking any notice. So this probably happened all the time. How could a 10-year-old girl from Surrey know more than the people who lived and worked there? But Tilly started to yell at her dad. She was so positive this was the thing Mr. Kearney had shown them 2 weeks before. Her dad had a difficult choice. Listening to his 10-year-old daughter who was getting hysterical and caused panic on the beach, or ignore it and just take his daughter back to the hotel until she calmed down. But what if she was right? All these families, these children, they would die and he'd be responsible. For an Englishman, embarrassment is the worst thing of all, but he decided that he had to take a chance. He told the security guard, who then told the lifeguards. The beach was cleared and everyone went back to the hotel and climbed to the third floor and waited. And they didn't have to wait long. In less than a minute, the first of the three giant waves struck. And those giant waves struck beaches all over Southeast Asia, even to Africa that morning. Some of us still remember this. It was the tsunami, the Boxing Day tsunami of 2004. By the end of the day, everyone in the world knew what a tsunami was, because that tsunami killed 250,000 people on beaches in 13 different countries. But there was one beach where no one died. Maikau Beach, Thailand. The beach Tilly Smith had been on. That was the beach everyone left before the wave struck. Why? Because 10-year-old Tilly refused to shut up. Later, she was taken to the United Nations, where she was honored and publicly congratulated by none other than President Bill Clinton himself, because Tilly saved the lives of hundreds of people, men, women, and children, by insisting to relay the message, even if it was the message of doom. Messages are important, especially messages that had to go through tough obstacles to get to the recipients. Messages have the power to change lives. Messages have the power to save lives. And God has been trying to communicate His message to humanity throughout the generations. Some of you feel like God has been trying to speak to you throughout your life. Let me tell you, that's not just a hunch. It's true. The Bible confirms it. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says this: in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. At many times and in various ways, God has always been trying to speak to you. The God who spoke through the prophets is the same God who tries to speak to you today, right now. The God who created the stars into existence is the same God who wants to create new things in your life. The voice that spoke light into darkness is the same voice that wants to speak into your darkness. Let me tell you, reality number 4 in experiencing God is that God speaks to His people. Turn to your neighbor and say, God speaks to you. God speaks to His people all the time. You see, not only does God wants to pass His message to you, God wants you to pass His message to the people around you. That's why throughout this series, we've been saying, if you want to hear, if you want to listen to the voice of God, you have to ask the right question. Don't ask, what is God's will for my life? But ask, what is God's will for this world? Because God's will for your life cannot be outside of God's will for this world. You know, when you become selfish, you stop listening to God. And when you stop listening to God, God can't speak His message to you. And when God can't speak His message to you, you can't relay that message to other people. That's why you cannot be selfish, because God has an important message to relay to this whole world. Just like Tilly had this important message to give to all those people on the beach in Maikau, Thailand, even though it was a message of doom. But God is always speaking to us. That's why it is important for us to realize how God is working in this world. Reality number one, in week one, we said that God is always at work around you. And His greatest work, His most important work, is to reconcile this broken world to Himself. That's why He sent Jesus to die on the cross. If you're not a Christian here this morning, let me tell you the good news. The good news is God loves you. And that's why reality number two says that God always pursues a love relationship with you. 2,000 years ago, He gave His best, His one and only Son, to die on the cross because He loves you that much. He hates your sins. He hates what sin can do in your life, but He loves you unconditionally. The Bible says He has loved you with an everlasting love. There's never been a time in history where God doesn't love you. And not only does God love you and pursues a love relationship with you, now He's inviting you to join Him in His work, to relay this important message to the rest of the world. If you call yourself a follower of Christ, God is inviting you to join Him in His work. But God doesn't leave you alone. See, God wants to communicate with you. He's not asking you to do things on your own. And the best way for you to discern God's voice in your life is always to have and maintain that love relationship with you. You know, the key for you to listen to God's voice is to continue in that love relationship with Him. That's the best thing that you could do. A lot of people wanting to hear God's voice, they bypass the love relationship and they try to discern God's voice in so many different ways. For example, they try to look for a sign, a miraculous sign, like an obese man who is driving around praying, God, if you want me to eat donuts, you will give me a parking space right in front of that donut store. And true enough, after driving around the block 5 times, there was the parking space. Must be God's will. Yeah? You know? God, if you want me to date that girl in the office, she will wear a white blouse and a black skirt tomorrow to work. What are you talking about? That's the office uniform, white blouse and black skirt. But a lot of people, funny enough, they always look for a sign. They always look for a sign. Don't do that. Jesus actually condemned people who look for a sign. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 38, 39, then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to Him, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. And Jesus answered, what? A wicked and adulterous generation ask for a sign, and they will not be given a sign. See, there's a much better way for you to listen to God. You don't have to ask for a sign. Just because some biblical characters ask for a sign doesn't mean that you have to do the same. In fact, right now, God has given you the Holy Spirit. If you call yourself a Christian, you don't need a sign from God. God speaks to you loud and clear in so many different ways, okay? Number two, people also seek a method or a formula to listen to God. You know, Moses heard from God through a burning bush. There was a man named Balaam who heard from God through a donkey. Let me ask you, how many other burning bush experiences were there in the Bible? Zero. How many different talking donkeys were there in the Scripture? Zero. See, you can't put God in a box. Just because God works one way, it doesn't mean that He will always work that way. Just because God communicates to you one time in a certain way, you don't have to write a book, you know, Donkeys for Dummies, to tell people this is how God always speaks. See, it's better. God doesn't like for you to be put in a formula, for you to put Him in a formula. You know what God rather wants you to do? To have a relationship with Him, to walk with Him and listen to His voice that way. How about this? Number three, people's favorite, the God you stop me method. The God you stop me method. I mean, this method is favorite among all the Christians. It sounds very spiritual. It sounds like you're depending on God because God, stop me if this is not your will. But you know what? This is actually our way of not listening to God. When you use this method, you're telling God, God, I don't want to listen to you. Let me tell you how this works, okay? This is what you're actually saying when you use the God stop me method. God, I want to do my own thing. I want to do my own will. And I'm going to that direction to fulfill my need, my will. And God, you stop me if it is not your will. But I want to do it. See, you say that. Or you say something different. God, you close the door if you don't want me to walk through it. You know, it sounds spiritual. The problem with this is that there's no pattern of such thing in the Bible. Do you know that God is not obligated to stop you from choosing your will? Do you know that the Bible never promised that God would stop you from making bad decisions in your life? God never promised that He will intervene, you know, in your life to stop you from making bad choices that cause heartache and disappointment in your life. Sometimes He does that, and we call that grace, all right? But He's never obligated to do that. The best way is that you seek the will of God at the front end. See, that's what God wants you to do. Every time a door of opportunities is open to you, why don't you stop and seek God and ask Him if this is His will first? You see, God wants to speak to you. Don't say, you know, God, stop me if this is not your will. So, how does God speak to us today then? How does God speak to us today? I believe God speaks to us in an amazing way, even today. A lot of people don't believe that God speaks to us, right? But I still believe that God speaks to us loud and clear today. You know what the problem is? The problem is we have so much other voices in our life. Yeah? We have so much noise, white noise in our life that we're not able to discern the voice of God. The question I want to ask you is this. Who did you hand the mic to in your life? Who do you listen to in your life? Do you know that the loudest voice is not always the truest? In fact, the truest voice is not always the loudest. Most of the time, the truest voice is the faintest. You have to sit still and listen in order to listen to this true voice. So the question that you need to ask is, who has been speaking into my life that caused me not to be able to discern the voice of God? You have to take the mic away and hand that over to God. Turn to your neighbor and say, take the mic away. Take the mic away. Even if you are holding the mic, whoever are not supposed to hold that mic from your life, in your life, you have to take the mic away and hand it over to God. Here's a metaphor for you, how God speaks to us today, all right? You're driving on a road trip. Your destination represents God's perfect will for your life. So you're driving along, and God, your Heavenly Father, provides you with stuff on your journey. He's given you the map or the GPS, which is God's word, to guide you so that you can reach to your destination. God also provided you with a mobile phone where you can communicate to Him. We call that prayer. At any point, you always have a connection with your Heavenly Father. You always have a signal. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, the veil that separates the Holy of Holies was torn into two. Now you have direct access to God through prayer. You don't need me to pray for you. You can have direct access to God. God gives you that opportunity, that availability, all right? And not only that, but God also doesn't let you to travel alone. God gives you people to travel with you, people who want to reach the same destination as you, people with the same mission, the same vision as you. God gives you those people as well to be your passengers that talk to you and remind you about your destination. All right? And not only that, externally, God also gives us circumstances to guide us. For example, if you are heading to the beach and you started seeing mountains, you know you're headed the wrong direction. See, God used all these ways and means to communicate to us. It is very clear. God never stops communicating to you. He never stops communicating to me. And one way He does that, this is the most important way, is that God speaks through the Bible. God speaks through the Bible. You know, a lot of people said to me like this, Daniel, you know, I wish we live in the age of the prophets where God speaks to us directly. you know, I want to hear the voice of God directly. Let me tell you, if you start hearing audible voice from God, go and see a psychiatrist. I think there might be something wrong with you. I'm not saying that God cannot speak audibly today, right? God can do anything. He's God. But a lot of people, Christians today, they believe that God speaks clearer back in the Old Testament days, like to Abraham, for example. I disagree, all right? How long did Abraham live? He lived for 175 years, in case you don't know, right? He was 100 years old or thereabout when he had Isaac. He had to wait 25 years before God gave him Isaac. You know, in 175 years of his life, do you know how many times God speaks directly to Abraham? I counted about 8 times. About 8 times. If you ask Abraham, hey, Abraham, would you rather God speak to you? Only 8 times. I mean, God had a great purpose for Abraham. He was going to be the father of faith. Come on. And yet, God speaks to him only about 8 times. If you ask Abraham today, Abraham, would you rather have God speak to you 8 times or would you rather have the Bible in your hand? You know a lot more about God than Abraham ever did. He didn't know about the coming Messiah. He believed that God is going to come and deliver his people, for sure. But he didn't know what it was going to look like. He didn't know about Jesus. He didn't know a lot of things about God like you do know about God right now. You know why? Because God has given you his word. God has given you his word. That Hebrews 1 verse 1, that's only half of the story. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, which is a much clearer way. Jesus is the perfect representation of his Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, Jesus says. So if you want to know the voice of God, just listen to the voice of Jesus. It's as simple as that. Your Bible is divided into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. God spoke through the prophets in various ways and means at different times in the Old Testament. But now, Abraham didn't have the New Testament. You have. See, you know more. You can hear more from God than Abraham ever did. So don't take your Bible for granted. Don't take your Bible for granted. It is very powerful. Let me tell you right now. It is the most powerful book in the world, not because of anything, but because God, the Holy Spirit himself, is the author behind the scene. Over 40 different authors written over thousands of years, and yet the same Spirit of God is the one that worked behind the scene to communicate to you. So don't take it for granted. Listen to what Hebrews says. God means what he says. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it. No matter what. God speaks to us today in such powerful way. You know, theologians divide the will of God into three different categories. One is his providential will. Second is his moral will. And then third is his personal will. See, that's the third one is what we want to know. What is your personal will for my life, right? But the way for you to discern God's voice, for you to know God's personal will for your life, is that you need to familiar yourself with God's providential will. You see, God has decided to provide this world with forgiveness and love. That is his providential will. Jesus, the Messiah, was prophesied to come to deliver us from our sins. And he's been prophesied to come back again the second time to get us. That's the time when we're going to be taken up and spend eternity with God, where God himself will wipe away all the tears from our eyes. All right? That's his providential will. And God has revealed to us his moral will as well in the Bible. See, if you want to know what is God's will, if you don't want to listen to God's voice, it's very easy. Open up your Bible. There's so many things that you need to do that you can't do in order for God to protect you so that you can live this life that is truly life. For example, don't ask whether or not you can have an affair with someone in your office. It's definitely not God's will. It's not God's voice. You know why? Because the Bible said, keep your marriage bed pure. You don't have to ask whether or not you should be humble. You don't have to ask God whether or not you need to be generous. It's all right there. You don't have to ask whether or not you should love other people, whether you should forgive them or not. It's all right there. His moral will has been revealed to you in His Word. All right? And then, if you're familiar, say, here's the deal. The more you are familiar with God's providential will, and the more obedient you are to God's moral will, guess what? The easier it will be for you to discover His personal will for your life. Isn't that true? A lot of people say, God, speak to me, speak to me. And God is saying, I speak to you all the time. See, God has a certain destination for you, but what do? We want our own destination, correct? You know, God, I want to go there. You ignore the GPS, the map, the people who travel with you. You ignore the external circumstances. You ignore the mobile phone, the direct access that you have with God. And you say to God, God, now you stop me if this is not your will. That's what we do. And God says, I've been trying to tell you, but you just refuse to listen. That's your problem. So, familiarize yourself with God's providential will for this world. He wants to reconcile the world to Himself, and He wants you to be a part of it. He wants you to live a moral life, not to restrict you, but to free you so that you can live life that is truly life. I give Jaden boundary where he can play, and within that boundary, Jaden can do whatever he wants, and he can play safely within that boundary. The boundary is not to restrict him. It is to protect him. That's why familiarize yourself. Love the Word of God. All right? That's number one. Number two, God speaks through prayer. God speaks through prayer. See, a lot of people think prayer as a chore. Oh, man, you know, I have to spend time with God and pray. Prayer is not a chore. It is the best thing you could ever do if you want to discover God's will. All right? It's the best thing that you could ever do. The Bible says, do not be anxious about anything. I know all of us are always anxious about stuff. And God says, don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. I always say this, if it's important to you, it's important to God. Present your request before God. And as you develop this intimate relationship with Him, guess what? God's will slowly becomes your will. And God always answers your prayer because you always ask what is God's will in your life. What if you don't know what to pray? That happens to me quite a bit. Actually, sometimes I feel like the burden is so heavy. You know, I go through moments in life too, you know. Pastors are human as well. Sometimes I feel like giving up, just to be honest with you. I feel like it's too much. And when I come to God to pray, I don't even know what to ask God. I don't even know what to pray for. Let me tell you right now. But in those moments is where actually God speaks to me the loudest. Paul says this in Romans 8, verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our strength. No, it's when you're weak. In your weakness, the Spirit helps you. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes on our behalf for us through wordless groans. You know, sometimes the best thing you could do is just groan before God, just cry before Him. Just be brutally honest with Him and just say to God, God, I can't take this anymore. I don't even know what to ask you anymore. That's when the Spirit of God will intercede on your behalf. You know why? Because God pursues an intimate love relationship with you. There's nothing, let me tell you right now, church, that God desires out of you more than your intimate relationship with Him. Not your service to Him, not your money, your personal relationship with Him. And the best way for you to develop that personal relationship is through reading His Word and spend time in prayer. Number three, the way God speaks to us today is through circumstances. Through circumstances. You know, even painful circumstances. C.S. Lewis, the author of Chronicles of Narnia, once said this, pain is God's megaphone to rouse the deaf world. Pain is God's megaphone to rouse the deaf world. Why does it have to be dramatic? Sometimes I wonder, you know. Why does it have to be dramatic? Why can't God talk to us through violin and laughter? You know why? Because God wants to wake us up from our dream. What dream? The dream that this world is a perfect world. It's not the perfect world that we live in. It is a sinful world that we live in. That's why you have heartache. That's why you have disappointment. That's why you have unfairness in this world. That's why you have sin, you have sickness, you have death. You know, every one of us. Jesus already prophesied, in this world you will have troubles, but take heart. I have overcome the world. God always speaks through circumstances. But here's the secret, all right? You have to see things from God's point of view. You have to see things from God's point of view. Because if you don't see things from God's point of view, you can get really disappointed with God. You can get really, really angry at God. You have to be able to differentiate between facts and truth. Facts and truth, all right? We think it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. Let me illustrate to you. One time, Jesus was taking his disciples on a boat trip. And then there was a storm. And Jesus was sleeping. You know the story, right? But I want you to pay attention to the details of this story. And I want to ask you some questions after that. In Mark chapter 4, 37, 38, it says this. But soon, a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Ooh, so nice. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we are going to drown?" Let me ask you some questions. Is it a fact that there was a fierce storm? Yes, definitely a fact. Is it a fact that there were high waves? Yes, it was a fact. Now, was it a fact that the boat began to be filled with water? Yes, it's a fact. Is it a fact that Jesus was sleeping? Yes, it's a fact. Is it a fact that Jesus doesn't care? No. See, that's an assumption, right? Just because Jesus was sleeping, the assumption is you must not care. Some of you think that God is sleeping on the job right now. You've been praying so hard and so long. And you think God is sleeping on the job, that God doesn't care about you. Because you see things from your point of view. You see things from your perspective, you see? You make a conjecture of things that are not correct, that are not truthful. I told you so many times that I'm scared of needles, you know? You know when is the most painful time to get shot by injection? It's a few seconds before the needles got into your skin, right? Whenever Dr. Andrew Ong, my GP, about to inject me, I said, ow, not yet, the doctor said. But we create this truth in our head that is not true. And after the injection was in, it's like, oh, that wasn't too bad, right? But we got so scared, the disciples got so scared. Is it true that they were going to drown? No. They didn't drown. They just think they were going to drown, right? You have to be able to differentiate facts and truth. The truth is this. God never leaves you nor forsake you. He cares about you. Let me tell you right now, He never stops pursuing you in a love relationship that is eternal. So the better question for you to ask when you go through some painful experience in your life is not to ask, God, why me? Where are you? The better question to ask is this. Heavenly Father, what are you trying to say to me through my miscarriage? What are you trying to say to me through my divorce? What are you trying to say to me through this sickness? What are you trying to tell me through this painful experience in my life? What are you trying to tell me through my child? What are you trying to tell me through my husband? What are you trying to tell me, God? Why did you let me through this experience? What is the lesson here? What are you trying to say to me? That's a much better to ask than, God, why me? Where are you? It hurts so bad. It hurts so bad. God says, child, I know. I know. I know what it's like to lose a son. I know what it's like to be misunderstood. I know everything that you go through. That's how God speaks to us, through circumstances in our life, all right? And then finally, God speaks through the church. God speaks through the church, not the building, but the people. That's why, you know, the writer of Hebrews says, do not neglect meeting together. Do not neglect coming together, because there's a power when you come together as a body of Christ. Each one of you is here for a reason. You play an important role in our church. You know that? 1 Corinthians 12 says, together you form the body of Christ, and each one of you is a necessary part of it. You're all necessary here. You're not superfluous to our church. Don't say, they're not going to miss me if I don't come to church. No, it's different, when you're not here, all right? You don't know when God is going to use your word to encourage another person in the church. That's why join small group, where we can get together and talk about the word of God and learn how to apply it to our life. It's important for you to not just sit in rows, but also in circle as we discuss and apply the word of God, the truth of the word of God in our life. And in small group, you also get a chance to speak truth into each other. Yeah? Truth that nobody else wants to speak into your life. But because we love you, because we have the same vision as you, because we are going to the same destination as you, we have, in a way, the right to speak into your life for your benefit. Here's what I want to leave you with. Your walk with God is personal, but it is not private. Sin makes people independent, but salvation makes us interdependent on one another. I don't want you to be codependent on one another, but we want to be interdependent with one another, because the body of Christ, together, we can do so much more than what we can do on our own. That's how God speaks to us today. Open up your spiritual ears. Listen. Take the time. God is always speaking to us.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.